Praise the Lord. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Verse 27. Genesis 1:27. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. I wouldn't have anything to say, Lord, if it wasn't for your word. There's a lot of preachers that have a lot to say without your word, but Lord, without your word, I'd be lost. Your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. It is the manna from heaven. We thank you for your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. This is the sixth day of creation, God said in Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Praise the Lord. This morning, I want to talk about the created in the image of God. We read that and we say, well, God must have a nose. I don't think that's what he was talking about. Because if you take all those verses literally about a form, then apparently he has wings too, like a chicken, right? Yeah, well, you know, how I wanted to gather you as a chicken gathers, you know, in the verse about under the shadow of his wings. But I don't believe it's so much the physical, though God may have a form that looks something similar to a shape of a man or woman, but basically we are made in his likeness, his nature, the nature of God, the nature of truth and righteousness and purity. It is in his image that God made man. Now we know that God made man in that image, but the devil soon corrupted it. That was his job. And yet we like to blame the devil, but Jesus redeemed us from the curse. And therefore, he is continuing to make us into his image. Amen. There is no weapon formed against us that can prosper. Therefore, to give the devil more credit when Jesus defeated him at the cross would be an atrocity. The power of the Holy Spirit to regenerate us into the image of God is available for us. Amen. One day they were talking to Jesus about paying taxes, and of course he said, do you have a coin? And they gave him a coin of the day, and he asked whose image was on the superscription. And they said it was Caesar's image, and he said, then render to Caesar that which is Caesar, and to God that which is God's. And the idea is that the image on the coin was Caesar's, so it belongs to Caesar. Give it to him. When the devil sees us, you wonder why the devil hates us so much. When the devil sees us, we are made in the image of God. So give them to God. Give your kids to God. Give your cousins to God. Give your husband and your wife and your sons and your daughters and your brothers and sisters. They're made in the image of God. Give them to God. So often we try to get people saved. We can't save anybody. We can't heal anybody. But we can give them to God because they're made in his image. Now the world loves to corrupt this image. Romans 1:23 tells us that they change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, to birds and four-footed beasts and to creeping things. And men worship what they want to worship. They do not always worship God. We can very easily find ourselves worshiping God. Jesus told the woman at the well, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. You cannot be transformed into the image of God outside of the Spirit of God. And that's why that song that Nola ended with today was so right on with the message. Because you have to be in the Spirit for the Spirit to transform your spirit into the image of God. Amen. Now, the God of this world is one of the titles of Satan. And in 2 Corinthians 4:4, Paul tells us whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Now, it doesn't say that the devil just blinded them so they didn't get saved. It says that the God of this world blinded the minds of them who believe not. See, nobody starts out blinded to the gospel. If they did, we would have no chance. They reject the truth, and then they open the door for the enemy to blind them, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. This glorious gospel of Christ is part of the God image. It says, who is the image of God? It is Christ, and it is the gospel of Christ. It's the good news. The light comes in, and you see the image of God. Hank Williams, one of his greatest hits, Senior. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more in darkness. And so this glorious light of the gospel of Christ is the image of God. And we want others to be saved so we can give them this glorious light, this image of God. And we correct them and we say, that's not God. That's not God. And there is a bunch. I mentioned J.R. Ferreira. I've never heard anybody use the analogy that God gave me other than this guy. Two things, I've been the only one that have ever said it until I heard this guy speaking. We must have a kindred spirit hearing the same thing. And he talked about counterfeit bills versus real bills. And he made the argument, which I've made to many skeptics before, you cannot have a counterfeit without a real thing. I can draw you out a $20 bill and say, go to McDonald's and get us a cheeseburger. You say, I can't get a cheeseburger with that. Why not? It's counterfeit. Who says it's counterfeit? The people who make the real one. And there are many counterfeit religions who present themselves as the image of God, but they're not. They are not. You know, the Hindus, they worship the cows. And they say, well, you can't, you know, they come back and they're reincarnated, and they may be, you know, in the words of Carmen, you may be munching on your Uncle Tony when you get a Big Mac. It's just foolishness. And they're blinded to the image of God. Now, Revelation tells us in the last days that there is a great deception coming to those that dwell on the earth by means of the miracles which the false prophet has power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had a wound by a sword and did live, and has the power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as it would not worship him, worship the image of the beast, to be killed. You see, the world doesn't know it, but you're going to worship an image. It's either going to be the image of God through the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, the image of Christ. It's going to be the image of the beast. And that day is coming very soon to this world. Now the question is, well, what is this image of the beast? This is not a prophecy update, but it is about images. And there's a lot of speculation. obviously the beast is a man. You know, back in the day, you know, oh, they built this computer and it's 666 and it's the beast, you know. The beast is a man filled with the devil who will physically be killed and resurrected with the sword. But the image of the beast is the question. Now, the image of the beast probably, in my opinion, is television. It talks about how it's given the power to speak. You know, they didn't know what television was in those days. In fact, let me read you one more verse from Revelation, and then we'll talk a little more about the Revelation 14, 9 through 11. The third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in their forehead or in their hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever. And they shall have no rest, night or day, who worship the beast in his image and whoever receives the mark of his name." So, here's my spin on it. You can take it for whatever it's worth. There's coming this man of sin called the beast, the Antichrist. And the false prophet will do miracles and say, worship this beast or the image of the beast. Obviously, this man is not God. He cannot be omnipresent. He is a physical man. But they will have him on TVs, on monitors. Now, I think everybody will have a smart, I think 90% of the people will have some kind of smart TV or device. And then they will know that you're logged in to listen to this man speak. He will speak with the vigor and the dynamics that Hitler did. And there will be a certain time that the beast will come on and everybody has to tune in and watch the image of the beast that has power to speak. It's television. And the people who do not have some kind of smart device so that they can monitor that you are watching the beast have to go to some area. They'll have a projector in the community building. Here, yeah. Or at NSU. And you'll go in and you have to log in somehow or show your number. If they have the mark by then, you'll have your mark scanned. And everybody has to watch this dynamic speaker on the monitor, given power, this image that speaks. Now, this is there is an Old Testament type and shadow in the book of Daniel, if you remember, that these people who were jealous of Daniel and Shadrach, and Meshach, and Abednego wanted to trap them in their religion, so they convinced Nebuchadnezzar to erect this great statue of himself, appealing to his ego, and that everyone should bow down and worship this image. It's a type and shadow of this, what we're talking about. Everyone should bow down and worship this image, and whoever does not bow down and worship this image will be cast into the fiery furnace. And so... there is the question that many people ask, well, why don't we see Daniel here? Did he bow down and worship the image? Well, of course not. Daniel is one of my heroes in the Old Testament. He's a great guy, wasn't he? Just constant. Had a prayer life. Faithful. Speculation is that Daniel was out of town on business, which is a type of the church being raptured. Right? And the three Hebrew children represent, you know, the Daniel represents the church taken out. The three Hebrew children represents the Jews preserved through the tribulation, right? And so the three Hebrew children, you know, get taken before Nebuchadnezzar. And he says, "Is this true, O Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, that you refuse to bow down and worship my image?" And they say, "Yes." And he said, "I'll give you one more chance. When you hear the music and the harps and the flutes and all this music sound, bow down and worship the image that is set up. But if you fail to do that, what God can deliver you?" Arrogance. And they say, "King, we don't really have to think about the answer. We already know what we're going to do." And you know, really, the Bible says that we should be prepared to give a man an answer. Don't wait until you get taken before. Now, Jesus said, don't think about what you're going to say. But you need to settle it in your heart now how you're going to respond if you get put in this situation. Don't say, well, I'll deal with it if it happens. I hope it don't happen. No, you make up your mind now. We don't have to think about the answer. We already know what we're going to say. And they said, you know, the God we serve, he is able to save us from your fiery furnace. But if he doesn't, be it known unto you, we will not bow down to your image. Now, the Bible says, this passage we just read in Revelation 14, that will happen on this planet on a global scale. And there will be people who will say, we will not worship the image of the beast. We won't do it. And it says they'll be taken away. And they'll be punished. They'll be killed for not worshiping the image. Where's the line? Put me in the front. Get this thing over with. I want to see Jesus. Amen. I don't think we'll be here, as I said. But I you got to settle it in your heart, right? You got to be prepared. God gets the last word, not me. And so many people will go to their death during the tribulation period for not taking the mark and not worshiping the image of the beast. I mentioned to you the thing about the ark from the audio clip, and how the angels told Ron Wyatt that the ark was not to be brought out until the time of the mark of the beast. That is so wise of God. Not that he asked my opinion. I mean, when you think about it, you know, I mean, we've got all the way back to when did the first Indiana Jones movie come out? 1980, early 80s, yeah, 81. And, you know, if anyone was totally biblically illiterate, they've heard of the ark. They've heard it's in the Bible. They've heard all this. And so they know in their minds there's some little dot that connects that image to the Bible. Even if they were raised a heathen and never read any part of the Word of God. And for this thing to be brought out to stand as a witness against the mark of the beast during that time, that's so wise of God, isn't it? Because God, even the people in the tribulation, he's not willing that any should perish. He would much rather them go under the blade and be saved than be damned. You know, this passage says, the third angel, I want to read it again, saying, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive the mark in his forehead or his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God that's poured out without mixture. And he'll be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. That's some serious stuff. One more verse from Revelation. Well, got a couple, but this one is 16:2. The first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sores upon the men who had the mark of the beast and upon which worshipped his image. You know, they're not gonna say we don't really want to go. They're gonna want to go. They are worshiping this image. They can't wait till the next broadcast. I don't know. I'm speculating. I don't know if it'll be every day, every week, but you know, they worship this image. This guy is amazing. This guy has done what nobody could do. This guy's unified the world. He's the Savior. All those religious fanatics, you know, put them down. Revelation 19:20. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image, and both were cast alive in the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Now, boy, this is a depressing sermon. You need to take another vacation. Romans 11:4. But what says the answer of God to him? Now, in this text, they're talking about Elijah, who's having a pity party and saying, Lord, everybody's worshiping Baal, and I'm the only one that's being faithful to you. In Romans 11:4, but what was God's answer? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Aren't you glad that God has a remnant? Aren't you glad that we are the remnant? We have not, we will not, we will never bow to the image of Baal, to the image of the beast. Don't fear, Elijah. You're not alone. In the last days, in the 21st century, Faith Fellowship Church worships the image of the Lamb and not the beast. Amen. Glory to God. Hebrews 10:1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things. Notice how the law is not the image of the things. It's just the shadow of the image of the things. It can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. So when you worship the law, you're worshiping a shadow of the things, and it can't do it for you. Keeping the law can't do it for you. It's not the image, it's the shadow of the image. But in Romans 8:29 it says, whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to his image, the image of the Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Hallelujah. So while the world is rushing to worship the image of the beast, by the power of God, in his beautiful foreknowledge, who he did predestinate us, is conforming us into his image. Woo! Come on, church. See, it's not that depressing. We've made the turn. We got through the bad part. Conforming us to the image of his Son. Someone said, how is it that Jesus said, the works I do and you'll do in greater works because I go to the Father? Because there's a whole bunch of Jesuses running around now. We are made, we are conformed to his image. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can I read that again? For whom he did, Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow, he knew you in your mother's womb, he also did predestinate to be conformed. The predestination is for you to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So is Jesus going to be in heaven? Yes, all 50,000 of us. The big Jesus and all the little Jesuses that look like him by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now don't go out and say Brother Roger is saying we're going to be gods like the Mormon church. I'm not. We're not going to be gods. There's only one big G. But we're going to be conformed to his image. We're going to have his nature. We're going to be like him. Praise the Lord. First Corinthians 15:49. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. I've been told I look like my dad. One day I was at Walmart, right about the time Harrison was probably a senior in high school. This girl is bleep, 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 looks up at me. She goes, is Harrison your son? Never saw her before in my life. I said, yeah. Well, you look like his dad. We bear the image of our father on earth. And as we've borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. I'm glad I don't have to stay the image of the earthly, that I am being transformed into the image of the heavenly. And when he looks at me, he sees not what I used to be, but he sees... Amen. Let's try that again. And when he looks at me, he sees not what I used to be, but he sees. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all, with open faces, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed. Changed. Everybody say changed. Changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. From glory to glory, changed into the same image. We look in the Word of God, and we see this glorious image of God in holiness and truth and beauty and righteousness. We say, oh, I want to be like Him. So I'm going to quit going to church, quit reading my Bible, and quit praying. No. So I'm going to keep going to church, keep reading my Bible, keep praying, and from glory to glory. That does not mean from Sunday to Sunday, by the way. It means from the time I pray, my daily devotions, the time I walk with God. And this is not a condemnation message. If you don't get in the Word because you had a busy day, that doesn't mean you're not going to be transformed in the image. The point is, you know what John the Baptist said, I must decrease and He must increase. It's that desire for the glory of God. I want it. I got to have it. It's not enough. Sunday's not enough. I want some more. Lord, can I have some more? I want seconds. I want thirds because I'm hungry for this glory. I'm thirsty for this glory. I got to have it. And as I have that desire, that's what's in me and that's the way I work. Then from glory to glory, I am transformed into His image, even by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Colossians 1:15. Who God, this is Jesus God, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Kind of similar to a verse we read earlier, Colossians 3:10. But we have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. You see, the renewal comes through knowledge. You cannot really experience renewal without the Word of God. Jesus said it's a seed that grows and you bear fruit. And so the word knowledge there is there for a reason. God didn't just throw a word in there, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. People say, you know, so-and-so got saved. What should they read? John. Have them read John. They read it. What should they read next? John. Have them read it again. Okay, they read it again. What should John. Have them read it again. Get John in your spirits. Because he said, these things are written that you may believe, and that in believing you will have life through his name. Once you get there and you really get rooted in the Gospel of John, then you can go on to Romans and 1st and Corinthians and all that. Because that knowledge is what renews you into the image of Him that created Him. Hebrews 1:3. Who being in the brightness of His glory with the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, set down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Now, there is a lot in here, and I know we're getting late. I don't want to take up too much time, but it says, the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person. You know, when John ran into one of these guys in heaven, as he's telling him all these things, John fell down. He saw this brightness of this person. He fell down to worship him, John, and he said to John, see thou, do it not. I am thy fellow servant in the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. Right? And when Joshua was walking through the land before the big battle with Jericho, he ran into a man, and he said, hey, are you for us or our enemies? And this man said, I am the captain of the Lord's host. I believe it was what is known as a Christophany, an appearance of Christ in the Old Testament. And he fell down and worshiped him, and he led him. That's another thing. If that was an angel or a man, he wouldn't have said. He would have said the same thing that said to John, don't do that, worship God. And so the idea is that in Hebrews, he's the brightness of the glory and the express image of his person, and he holds all things by the word of his power. See, Jesus is the word, isn't he? Hallelujah. And now as we wrap up a couple more verses in Revelation 15:2, and I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. Now, I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. And I don't know what valley I may have to go through, but I know what destination I'm going to. I'm going to be in that number when the saints go marching in. I'm going to see that sea of glass, and I'm going to be the overcomer, aren't you? And whether or not we're here when the mark comes and the image of the beast comes doesn't matter. What matters is we're going to be on the other side. Amen. Seeing God. One more verse for you. Come on up, Miss Nola. Revelation 24:20, verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their forehead or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. See, this wasn't as depressing as you thought it was going to be, was it? You know what? There are some dark days coming. We need to pray for our friends and our family and even our enemies, because I wouldn't want anyone to be here during that time. And I believe that God has not appointed us to wrath. And I don't know when we're going to go home. I think it's soon. But I know where home is. I know where the Father's at. And I know that today, and I may have blown it yesterday, but I know that today he's making me into his image. He made Adam into his image, and it's the sixth day. It's the 6,000 years. And everything that happens between now and the rapture, be it good or bad, don't blame the devil on everything. It may very well be the Father making you into the image of his Son. Amen. And then we would just say, turn up the heat, Lord. I want to look like Jesus. Whatever I'm facing, I want to look like Jesus. Whatever happens to me, like the three Hebrew children, whatever God decides for my destiny is in his hands, not mine. But I'm going to worship God. I'm not worshiping no image. I'm not worshiping no cow. I may like Big Macs, but I ain't worshiping no cow. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand and have a word of prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I'm so glad that the burden for making me into the image of Christ is with you and not me, because my best effort of keeping the law is not even the image. It's a shadow of it. But if I can just stay in the Spirit, you promised in your word, from glory to glory to glory, you're going to make me into your image, the image of your Son. And we know, Lord, that soon and very soon you're going to take us home. And many of us have faced many challenges. Many of us have many scars from the past. Many of us are facing challenges even now. But we know in whom we believed, and we're persuaded you're able to keep that which we've committed to you, as you are making us into your image. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead, Nola.
Oh, let the Son of God enfold you with his Spirit and his love. Let him fill your life and satisfy. descend upon your life and make you
God bless you. Give someone a big hug before you go.
Well, look.